All right, so this morning we're going to try and discuss an issue that arises out of the ninth ikar here, the permanence of the Torah, with some of the other ideas that the Rambam talks about elsewhere, which we'll get into, which is the idea of Ta'amei Mitzvos, and specifically with some of the examples of Ta'amei Mitzvos, the reasons for Mitzvos that the Rambam himself gives, which we'll get into a second. Before we start that, I just wanted to wrap up one thing of what we discussed last week, that we ran out of time and we did not make it through our whole list of responding to the challenges that are raised against the Rambam with the ninth ikar. I'm not going to finish the whole list now. There's just one that I wanted to mention because it is very central to an idea we've discussed many times about what the goal of the Ikarim was, what the 13 principles are, which was one of the questions that was asked, that's posed against the Rambam, is then in the Rambam's own list of Yud Gimel Ikrim, there seem to be some things that are temporary. There seem to be some things that are going to change, namely the Ikrim that there will be Tchias HaMesim and that there will be Mashiach, that those two Ikrim, so once they happen, so you no longer will need to believe that in those things because they already happened. So doesn't that show that if your obligation to believe in those things is only temporary? So once they happen, there's no longer an obligation to believe in them. So in the Rambam's, self-contained in the Rambam's list is the fact that it's subject to change, that it will be changed eventually. So I just want to respond to that with something which we've discussed many times, which is that the 13 principles of faith are not mitzvos. It is not commands to believe in something. It's not telling you things that you need to believe in. It's telling you things. It's a statement of fact. If you believe these 13 things, then you will have the framework to relate to God through the Torah in the proper way. So these 13 things, it's not saying you have to believe in these. Here's your mitzvah to believe in these things, about which we could say, well, this already happened, there's no longer a mitzvah to believe in it. They're not mitzvos. They're statements. If you believe in these things, then you will have the framework that's necessary. Tchias HaMesim, once it happens, so it's not going to be less of a, there will be no mitzvah to believe in it, but you will believe in it much more once it already happened. Accepting that that is true is something that will be that much stronger once it actually happens. It's true, there won't be a mitzvah to believe in it. The Rambam is never telling you a mitzvah to believe in it. The Rambam is telling you that it's with knowing that this is true, then you will have the proper understanding. So knowing that it's true will be at least as good. Once it already happened, you'll know that it's true, that there will be a Mashiach. And once it happens, you know that it's true, that there will be a Tchias HaMesim. So those things, they really have nothing to do with with the idea that the Rambam's talking about mitzvos being permanent, because the Rambam's Yud Gimel Ikrim, they're not mitzvos. They're not trying to tell you commandments of things you have to do. They're telling you things that if you believe them, then you will have the proper framework, the proper perspective of the relationship with the Kaddish Baruch. Alright, so I just wanted to throw that in as a completion of last week's discussion, because it's very central to the overall theme of our topic of the Yud Gimel Ikrim. Alright. Now this week's topic, talking about basically just to recap where the question starts from, we basically established over the past few weeks the idea of the 13th ikar, of the 9th ikar, that the Torah is permanent and it is absolute. The Torah will not be changed, will not be edited. The Torah was given in its completion and it is absolute. And it's perfect, and there is no room for the Torah to change. And that's the ninth ikar, and the person has to know that, so that they know, they appreciate that what they're doing is not something arbitrary. There is absolute truth to the Torah. And that a person doesn't think that, why am I bothering with this? It's just going to get changed anyways. So we're going to see the Rambam. I picked out one example. The example that I picked is because the example is where a number of the Rishonim take issue with the Rambam on this. Well, this is at a slightly different point. But the Rambam, in a number of places, in Mor Nevotim, explains what he feels is the reason for a number of mitzvos. And for some of the mitzvos, the Rambam gives reasons that seem incredibly temporary, incredibly related to a very specific point in history, and seem to be that they are they're you know, this mitzvah had a reason which you know made sense at the time and doesn't necessarily make so much sense anymore. So the Rambam, who is as one of his 13 principles, one of the Ikrim, laying down that the Torah's absolute won't change, seems to himself give as the reason for the mitzvos things which seem to be subject to change, subject to what happened, history and what's going to happen. And one of the ways that this question is asked, I didn't bring this in our source sheet, but is that, you know, it needs to be explained according to the Rambam. You know, why wouldn't this mitzvah fall away after the point at which it's already, you know, served its use, so to speak? So we'll see one example. The example I chose is an example where a number of the Rishonim respond to the Rambam, and we'll try and understand what the idea of Tamei Mitzvos is and how it fits in to the greater idea. So the Rambam in Mor Nevotim, in Chelek Gimel in chapter 42, is talking about Korbanos. This is actually the second time that he's discussing Korbanos, and he's discussing a number of the specific examples of Korbanos and why it is that we bring Korbanos from specific animals. And he says that in Egypt, the Egyptians, they served the Tleh and the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, that they you know, in many of the countries and the lands where there are Ovdei Avodah Zarah, that they would not, you know, chef the cow, they would not harm a cow, they believed that cows were holy or godly and whatever it was. So the Rambam says, "Ukidei limchos ikvos hashkafos habilti nechonos halalu," in order to erase these incorrect hashkafos, these incorrect outlooks, "Nitzavinu lahakriv elu shloshes aminim dafka min amikne." That we were commanded to sacrifice specifically these three species, the mikneh, the bakar, and the tzon. That's where we should bring a korban from. Kedesha yehe hamaisa asher cheshvu shai hameri. In order that the act that those idolaters considered to be the pinnacle of rebellion, you know, slaughtering the god, bo miskarvim with Hashem. It's specifically that we take and we say, no, that's how we're coming closer to God. Uba oso hamaseh miskarvim machatayim, and through that's how, and it's through that maisa that we atone for sin. That's not the height of sin. That's what atones for sin. Ubekach merapim es hashkafos haros shehim machos hanefesh, and through that we heal these bad hashkafos, which are a sickness of the spirit, by going to the opposite extreme and you know, yanking in the other direction and showing the exact flip side of what they thought. So the Rambam seems to take as the explanation for why we bring these korbanos, it's in response to these Ovdei Avodah Zarah who offered these. So now that, you know, the Egyptians no longer, you know, offer sacrifices, and most of the world no longer offer sacrifices, and already really in the time of the Rambam, you had pagans in West Asia and things like that who are still doing that kind of thing. But, you know, for most part, This wasn't even, you know, it's not like this is something that happened after the Rambam's time, and he didn't realize that was, you know, going to be a passing fad. This is something that even in the Rambam's time was largely a bygone. So the Rambam seems to be giving a reason for this mitzvah, why we bring specifically these korbanos as something which is temporary, something which was, you know, which has passed, it's already gone. The Rambam in Perek, I think it's Lamed Gimel or Lamed Dalid. Explains that the idea of sacrifices in general, aside from here, he's talking about these specific ones, but in general, the Rambam describes it was a way of weaning us off of, you know, they were used to, they lived in Egypt, the way Egyptians worship was through sacrifices, the whole world worshiped through sacrifices, as a kind of way of weaning the Jews off of Avodah Zarah. They, you know, God gave them sacrifices as, you know, a way that they still had, you know, something that they could relate to. It sounds like a very, you know, non-ideal kind of mitzvah. It's a mitzvah that's, you know, seems like it's almost just supposed to be a segue in order that we can, you know, transfer into Avodas Hashem. So to understand exactly how these fit. Yes.
So does the Rambam, does he take it a little bit further and say when the, you know, when the next Beit HaMikdash is built that we won't have the need for Karbanos? And does he go that far?
No, so he does not go that far. Right?
Okay.
Right. And that would be a big problem, right? If the Rambam went so far as to say that it actually, therefore, you know, relieves us of these mitzvos once they're no longer relevant, that would be a big problem with
right.
what the Rambam says in the Yud Gimel Ikrim, that there are no mitzvos that are going to change.
Right.
So, but
a little bit of a contradiction there, because like you're saying, you can kind of do
right. So it needs to be explained
right.
what if mitzvos, if these mitzvos, you know, have a temporary justification. So then, what is it? You know, why is it that the Torah is permanent?
Right.
Or to phrase it in the opposite direction, if the Torah is absolute, how can you have mitzvos? If Torah is absolute truth, so how can you have things which are absolute, which are only applicable, you know, at a certain point? So the Ramban in his Pirush on Chumash in Vayikra is very bothered with this Rambam. He says, he sums up the Rambam, and he says, Eila Dvarav, Uba Hemherich, says, this is the Rambam's idea, and he went on and on about it. V'hineim divrei havai. The Ramban says, very strong, he says, this is nonsense. Yerapu shever gadol v'kushya rabba al nikle. Yasu shulchan Hashem megoal. It's creating big problems. It's making the shulchan Hashem, the mizbeach, right? We're bringing the korbanos. It's making it megoal. It's making it something disgraceful, rejected. She'eninu rak lahotimi liban shel rishayim v'tip she'olam. The whole point of korbanos now becomes something just to counter the opinion, the ideas of wicked people and foolish people, right? That's what korbanos are now. V'akasav amar, but then the Torah says, ki heim lecha mishay v'reach nichoach. That's korbanos are reach nichoach before Hashem. So the Ramban is very bothered by the Rambam. The Rambam has made korbanos into something almost not trivial, but, you know, something much, you know, they're dispensable. They're something which are a convention. And not only are they convention, they're a convention that's here just to negate the opinion of fools. So, and that's why God commanded, you know, the Shulchan Hashem, the Mizbeach, that's what the point of it. And the Ramban is very bothered by that. The Ramban then goes, he goes at length to bring lots of proofs that that's not true, aside from just simply the ideas that we're discussing. The Ramban discusses that Noah brought korbanos, and Abraham brought korbanos, and he brings lots of examples of that. There's Midrashim that say that other Marishon brought korbanos, and other Marishon lived before there was such a thing as Avodah Zarah. So he brings lots of examples, but his main point is what he starts off with, is just that we're turning korbanos into something that's, you know, almost silly. So the Ramban, he then brings his own explanation of korbanos, but the Ramban leaves the Rambam as problematic. He just says the Rambam, he doesn't accept it, and he moves on. The next source we have here is the Ritva, and the Sefer HaZikaron. So the Sefer HaZikaron It's a very interesting sefer. Rabbi Grossman pointed this point out to me, that the Sefer HaZikaron is written by the Ritva in defense of the Rambam against the Ramban. It's a defense of the Rambam responding to the attacks that the Ramban in Chumash makes against the Rambam in the Moreh Nevuchim.
I'm sorry, what time frame are we looking at in the Rambam land?
In the 1100s, late 10th, the 1100s, 12th century.
And then
the Ramban was the end of the 12th century. And then the Ritva is in, the early 13th century,
okay.
Right, the early 1200s, mid 1200s, something like that.
Okay.
But so just to start out, the Ritva in the Sefer refers to the Ramban as Rabbeinu, as, you know, our teacher, our master, right? And the Sefer is written defending the Rambam against the Ramban's challenges and attacks, but the Ritva writes in the beginning that the Ramban is right. The Ritva says, I'm defending the Rambam, but you should know the Rambam was correct. I'm defending the Rambam because the cover of the Rambam, he was a great Talmud Chacham, it wasn't right of the Ramban to attack him so vociferously, and I have to show that, you know, the Ramban made it look like the Rambam was silly, and he wasn't silly. He was wrong, but he wasn't silly, and therefore the Ritva goes to justify and explain and resolve the opinions of the Rambam. Not because he thought he was correct, but just, he said, in the end of the day, the Ramban is really in the right. He just was not happy that the Ramban had attacked the Rambam so aggressively. So the Ritva comes here to defend the Rambam. So he starts with quoting the Ramban we just read. So he says, Ad kan dvar shel Rabbeinu zal midivrei Amora. The Ramban quoted the Rambam. And the Ramban was very bothered by the Rambam's explanation of Korbanos. We won't bother repeating what the Ramban said. The Omerani, says the Ritva, Ki hakabalah amitis asher haisel Rabbeinu Zal b'inyanei Korbanos amitis. Says, yeah, the Ramban's explanation of Korbanos, that's the right one. Yes, the Ramban was correct. And since the Rambam's explanation of this mitzvah seems very weak, seems very watered down, says the Ramban, therefore, was inspired, brought about to attack the Rambam for the sake of Hashem. The Ramban was responding to the Rambam for giving such a ta'am kalosh, such an insignificant justification for Kavanos. Right? That's the recap. V'dayti b'rav ha-morezal. The Ritva says, my opinion about the Rambam's idea, b'ta'am zeh, in this reason for mitzvos, u'b'ta'am im rav im'achayim shekas of the mitzvos, and in many other reasons that the Rambam gave for mitzvos. So I mentioned that this is not the only case where the Rambam does something like this. The Rambam does it by a lot of mitzvos. So Ritva says, by this mitzvah and by many of the mitzvos. The Rambam himself did not believe that that was the primary reason behind the mitzvah. He wanted to give some beginning of a rational explanation, so that even, you know, the common person would be able to understand, have some idea of, you know, a way to put this mitzvah into a logical framework and be able to respond to an apikoros and be able to explain why the mitzvah makes sense. Not that this was the final and absolute and primary reason for the mitzvah, but it was just something to at least give you a starting point to give a rational explanation of the mitzvah, that it's not just, you know, arbitrary and random. Right, that's the Ritva. The Ritva goes on about responding to the Ramban's kashas, but that's the basic idea of the Ritva. The Ritva says that by this mitzvah and by many mitzvahs, that the Rambam is giving a reason for the mitzvahs is not that that's the reason and the justification of the mitzvah. That's a thought for someone to, you know, have a ktsas tam, have some beginning of an understanding that they could use physically just to work with you know, not having anything else, or at least have something, so you'll be able to fit it into a logical framework. So the Ritva basically says that when the Rambam gave these Tamei Mitzvos, he's not saying the absolute bottom line explanation of the mitzvah. He's just trying to give a thought of what, you know, one thing you could take out of the mitzvah. Yes?
Does the Ritva go further and say what that main reason is then?
No, he does not. He doesn't explain, but he just says that, you know, don't be bothered with the Rambam says, because what the Rambam said, the Rambam himself wasn't trying to give the whole story. So the Ritva is the beginning, the earliest source that I know of a number of sources who say a similar kind of idea, that the Rambam in the Mor Nevochim was just giving an explanation that someone who needs an explanation will have something. Right? The Chasam Sofer in the Hakdama to Yoredeya says the same idea, and we'll see whether that I think we can see at least a hint to this, if not a clear indication to this, from the Rambam himself. But before we get back to the Rambam himself, just to see one more thing, the Rabbeinu Bachaye, who did not overlap with the Rambam. The Rabbeinu Bachaye is usually careful in what he quotes. The Rabbeinu Bachaye in his Pirush on Chumash quotes an oral tradition that he heard quoted from the Rambam. So he says, the Shemat, this is in Parshas Nitzavim in Devarim Chaftes Pasuk Chaftes, I think, unless it was Chaftes. I don't remember. It's in the Tzavim, right towards the end of Perek Chaftes. On the pasuk of V'hanistaros Hashem Elokeinu V'nigros Lanu Lavaninu Ad Olam. Lasos is called Divrei Torah Azos. So he quotes the Rabbeinu Chai goes through a number of explanations, bringing from a number of Rishonim, and then the final one that he quotes is, before he goes into his own explanation, the Shemati B'Shem Rambam Zal. I heard quoted in the name of the Rambam the Pirush Pasuk Zeh, an explanation of this verse. V'hanistaros Lashem Elokeinu. The hidden is for Hashem. Yomar Sod, which means to say Sodos HaTorah HaNistarim V'Ta'am HaMitzvos LaShem Yis'alehem. The secrets of the Torah and the reasons of the mitzvos, those are hidden for Hashem. The reason, the ultimate reason behind the mitzvah, that's Hashem's business. V'im yizke adam sheyika adno shemetz minam. And if a person is able to get, to grasp some glimpse, some hint, some element of the idea of b'yediyas shor shemitzvah v'yikara v'nistar, sheba, and able to grasp some inkling of the idea of the mitzvah, the hidden part, the reason behind the mitzvah, al yi pater v'kach min anigla. A person should not exempt themselves through that from the nigla, from the revealed part of the mitzvah, meaning shelo yaseh mitzvah binyan gufni, that he should not stop doing the mitzvah, the physical part of the mitzvah. The mitzvah, ein lo lehimana mizeh. A person cannot refrain from them. Sharen niglos lanu v'aneinu asos. The niglos, which means the part of the mitzvah that the Torah said, which is do this, put on tefillin, wear tzitzis, bring a korban, that part of the mitzvah, that's the nigla, that's lanu v'aneinu, lasos, that we have to do. There's the nistaros of the mitzvah, there's the part of the mitzvah which is nistar, which is hidden, which is the reason behind the mitzvah, which is hidden in that it was not told to us. Hashem did not write that into the Torah, except for very few exceptions. So the nigla is lanu v'aneinu lasos. That's our responsibility to do the mitzvahs. And the Rabbeinu Bachaye finishes, appears as if Atzel Shem Yakar of the Safir. He says, this is a wonderful idea of Al Einu Binyan of Parsha. It happens to not be shot in the Pasuk. Right? The Rabbeinu Bachaye says, that's not what this, he doesn't agree that that's what this verse means, but he says that the idea that the Rambam is saying is very important. There's the same idea, the idea that there is the external part of the mitzvah, and that's you have the external part, the nigla of the mitzvah, that you're doing, and there's nothing to talk about there. Niglos lanu l'aninu. There's the time of the mitzvah, which you can try and get a hint of. You can try and grasp some element of, and that's, you know, give you some appreciation of what's going on with the mitzvah. But at the end of the day, the nisdaris l'shem elokein, Hashem didn't give the reasons for the mitzvos, because the mitzvos are lano lani nolasos. You have to do the mitzvah either way. You can try and appreciate the mitzvah, but at the end of the day, the mitzvah is the reason for the mitzvah, that belongs to Hashem. So like I said, the Rambam himself, I think we could see that there's some reference to this idea. The same Rambam who we just saw in Mor Nevochim, who he explains that the mitzvos, that they are, you know, these the korbanos, that he gave a reason for them. So the Rambam at the very end of Hilchos Avodah, the last halacha in Hilchos Avodah, the end of Hilchos Me'ilah, writes, Ra'i la'adam hisbonin b'mishpatei Torah kedosha v'leida sof inyanam kafi kopo. A person, it is fitting for a person to contemplate the laws of the Torah and to know their idea behind them as much as he is able to the extent of his ability. The davar shelo yimtza lo tam, but something that you don't find a reason for, the lo yada lo ila, and you don't understand the cause of it, al yehi kal be'enav, don't let that mitzvah become something light in your eyes, the lo yaros laros el Hashem pen yifrotzbo, and don't then, quoting a pasuk, but don't then, you know, start having thoughts about you know, Hashem's ideas. Right? If you can't fathom the reason for a mitzvah, don't cause that the mitzvah should then become less significant in your eyes. He goes about the Me'ilah, he gives an example from Me'ilah of how you see how important something that seems very lenient could be. We'll skip a bit to the next underlying part. The mishpatim are the mitzvos which are open and revealed. The tovarts asiyasam ol mazeh yadua. And their benefit in this world is very obvious and evident. Kigon iser gezel, the shvichas damim, the kibur avim, like stealing and shvichas damim and killing and honoring your parents. All those things are things which are obvious what the point of those things is. The chukim, there's another kind of mitzvot which are the chukim. Heina mitzvot she'ain tam on yidur. Those are the mitzvot that we don't know the reason for. Amru chachamim chukim chakasi lach ve'ain lach rishus laharaben. I gave you these chukim. I engraved them. And you don't have rishus, you don't have the right to wonder about them. Right? So the Rambam says there are these mitzvahs, which are the group of chukim, which are the mitzvahs that we do not know the reason for, and these are the things that you could try and, you know, appreciate what the idea is, kefi koho, according to what you have, but if you don't understand it, these are the things that the reason is not self-evident. Now the Rambam concludes, skipping some more lines, the kol ha-korbanos kulan mikra ha-chukim hein. The korbanos, they are all chukim. They are all in that list of things that the Rambam said are ein tam on yidur. We don't know the reason for them. Amru chachamim shebishvil avodas or korbanos ha'olam oved. The chachamim say that on the avoda of the korbanos, the world stands. And he says, he points out that the chukim are really preceded in the pasuk. Really precede the mishpatim in the pasuk. But the Rambam finishes up and he says the korbanos are an example of chukim, and they're the foundation of the world. So the very same Rambam who in Mor Nevochim told us the idea behind the korbanos is that they're to negate these ideas of Avodah Zarah, over here tells us there are chukim about which we do not know the reason. We can guess, we can wonder, but there are things that we don't know the reason for them. And they're the yesod of the world. There's something more to them than you can't understand them. Don't think that there's nothing to them because you can't understand what's to them. They're the yesod olam. Right? That's Rambam. The very same Rambam seems to be telling us, even though he gave us a reason in Mor Nevochim. But don't think that the reason that you have is the end of the discussion. That the reason that we have is what he said in the beginning. Kefi koko, according to your ability, you can try and get some degree of appreciation. But there's more to it. The mitzvos, the nistaros l'shem elokeinu, the reasons for the mitzvos, that's Hashem's business, and we can try and get an appreciation of it, but at the end of the day, the korbanos are the chukim, and the reason for the mitzvah is just one glimpse into appreciating the literature. One more source, and then I want to try and kind of sum up. And this is the Sefer HaChinuch on the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKan. Now, the Gemara has a very interesting discussion about the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKan. The Gemara in Brachos says that a person who says, a shaliach tzibor, who's davening from the Amud, who says, Al kan tzibor yagiu rachamecha, kein rachim Hashem aleinu, that Hashem, your mercy reaches the nest of a bird, so too you should have mercy on us. Says, the Mishnah says that such a person, you remove from his from being a shaliach tzibor, you take him down. So the Gemara has a machlokis as to why.
What did the Shulchan say again?
He says that Hashem's mercy reaches a bird's nest.
Oh,
right?
Okay.
So one opinion says that the person is removed from the Shliach Tzibor because he's Matyal Kina Bein Abrios. He's you know, putting jealousy among creation. Hashem has mercy on birds. He gave them special treatment, but not frogs. Right? And therefore, that's an inappropriate thing to say. And the other one says because he's Osei Mitzoso Shal Kadosh Baruch Hu Racham in vain and Elixeros. He's turning Hashem's mitzos into, you know, an act of mercy. It's not an act of mercy, it's just a Xera. Which seems to mean that there's no reason for that. He's making it as if there's some idea that Hashem wanted that mercy on the bird. It's just a Xera, it's just a decree. Do this is what I said to do. The Rambam and the Ramban have a big machlokas about how to understand that Gemara. The Rambam understands that is a machlokas amorayim, a difference of opinion between the amorayim, whether there are reasons to the mitzvos. And the Rambam says, we follow the opinion that says there are reasons to mitzvos. The Ramban reads the Gemara and says, there's no machlokas. Everybody agrees that there's reasons for mitzvos. Nobody says the mitzvos are just arbitrary, random things that Hashem just, you know, flipped a coin and decided that would be a, you know, a nice idea. They all have some meaning to them. And the Ramban goes at length to explain what does it mean, Ein Ela Gzeiros. It's not our point for now, but he basically says, the point of the is to say that God gets nothing out of the mitzvos. Mitzvos are not for God's sake because, you know, God wanted to be merciful, so therefore he gave. They're for our sake. They're Gzeiros. They are meant to tell us what to do, to refine us. But that's a machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban about that Gemara. They both agree at the end of the day that mitzvos have a rhyme and reason to them. They're arguing about whether or not there's an argument about such a thing. The Sefer HaChinuch goes through the entire machlokes of the Rambam and the Ramban to justify his book. The Sefer HaChinuch is a book of Tamei Mitzvos. And he says, as he sums up, he's writing the book to his son. He says, my son, you see, I wrote all of this to bring two great witnesses, the Rambam and the Ramban, to all of the ideas that I'm writing in my book here to you. Ki hincha roa, here you see beinecha, da'as shneim, that both of them hold. Ki yesh b'mitzvos ha'Torah ta'am la'oil b'nei adam, b'deotehem, that all of the mitzvos of the Torah have some kind of reasoning behind them to benefit people, to teach them, lahachirim, to fix them, to make them better, ulahargilim, lahachirim and as a puroseim, in order to bring them about to act the proper way. V'she'ena to'elas basiyasam chalil labora baruchu, and that the benefit is not for God. The im omnam ki yesh min mitzvos shelo hisagnu b'taman. If there are some mitzvos that we don't grasp the reason, b'miyut sichlenu, through the limitedness of our intellect, may rove omek b'tachlas godlan, from the incredible depth and greatness of the mitzvah, lo nimnam imenu mihagid ba'en kol asher nasig. That will not prevent us, that will not hold us back from saying that which we do grasp. To present that toelos, that benefit that a person has in doing them. So even though there's mitzvah, we're not going to grasp the total picture of the mitzvah, but we'll at least still present that part of it that we do get, because we know that there is a rhyme and reason to mitzvahs. V'harbe yagati v'miksasam l'hasig v'anios daiti liros behen me'af kat me'rov ha'toelos behen. Says the Sefer HaChinuch, and I have put in tremendous effort to by many of the mitzvos to grasp in my limited intellect, my limited understanding, to see some inkling of the incredible toelas, the incredible benefit that the mitzvos have. So says the Sefer Chinuch, I'm writing a sefer of the reasons of the mitzvos, and I'm telling you that I'm trying to give over some small aspect, some small hint of the benefit behind the mitzvos. So this is the idea of Tamei Mitzvos, is that the Tamei Mitzvos are not the reason for the mitzvah, the justification of the mitzvah. It's that mitzvos we know have a rhyme and a reason to them, and the time of the mitzvah gives us some window into appreciating the mitzvah, but it's not the ikar of the mitzvah. In Lashon HaKodesh, we refer to the reasons for mitzvos as ta'amei mitzvos. Ta'amei mitzvos literally means the taste of mitzvos. It's a taste of the mitzvah. When you have a food, you have a steak, right? So while you're eating it, so probably the taste of the steak in your mouth, that's what gives you, that's what allows you to enjoy the mitzvah. If foods didn't taste good, it would be very, even though we know that you need to eat to survive, it would be much harder to eat if foods didn't taste good. Foods are attractive to us, and therefore it gives us a window to access the mitzvah, to appreciate what the mitzvah is. But 3 hours later, do you care about how it tasted, or do you care about the protein and whatever else there is in a steak, I don't know, but the nutrients that were there, which is the real substance of the steak? Which is the part of the food which is the real substance, which is the real value of it? So while you're in order to access it, the taste is something that gets you to see that that there's something good about this. But the real value of it was not the taste. The real value of it is the actual substance is not the taste. The taste is just that which gives a point of access, a point that allows you to appreciate it, to enjoy it. But the real value of it is that which is the actual substance is not the taste. They're the same idea that there's in the Torah. In Torah Shabbat Tzav, we have what's called a Ta'amei Mikra. We have the trump, which gives the tune when we lane comes from the trump. Those are called the Ta'amei Mikra. They're called the Ta'amim. The Ta'am is something which is not part of the text. It's not written in the Torah. It's somewhat hidden, and what it does is it doesn't tell you what to read. It tells you how to read it. It's coming on top of the word, and it's the tamim. When we lane, they give us a nice tune. But what they actually serve to do is they're a form of punctuation. They tell you where a stop is, where something is connected to another thing, when one thing is the main point of a verse. The tamim, if you know how to read them, are really directing how to read. The verse, how to read this. They give direction to it. They don't define the meaning. They direct the meaning of the verse. They're hidden, and they give the way in which to take these words and how to relate them, how to understand them, how to access them. But they don't give the meaning to them. The meaning, the actual content of the Torah is not the Tam, and that's what that Tam is. The Tam is that which directs. It gives a flavor. It gives direction to the real content, but they're not the real content. They're just a tam. They're just that which is added on top of the mikra, and gives it direction. That's the idea of ta'amei mitzvos. It's the same thing. They're that which, they're not the real part of the mitzvah. They're that which directs the mitzvah. They're that which gives the mitzvah a way in which we can appreciate it, in which we can relate to it, in which we can enjoy the mitzvah, so to speak. But the time of the mitzvah is just a time, is just a taste of the mitzvah, is just to give you some idea of what's here in the mitzvah. But all it is, that's a point of access where you know that there's really much deeper to that mitzvah. There's much more to the mitzvah beyond just the time of the mitzvah. The time is merely just a point of access, and the real mitzvah is Hanistaros L'Shem Elokeinu, that the absolute value of the mitzvah, there's absolute truth, and there's absolute meaning, which is comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's own Ratzon when he made the Torah, something which is far beyond what you can never hope to grasp the entirety of the mitzvah. And that's the ninth ikkar. The ninth ikkar is that part, that mitzvahs have absolute value beyond anything we can necessarily ever understand. The mitzvahs are permanent and absolute because they are the ultimate possible expression of Ratzon Hashem in the world. And that's something that we can hope to get some window into. But that's not something that we expect that we'll be able to completely grasp. So Hashem gave us, here's what you need to do. And this is the manifestation of Hashem's Ratzon, is in the Torah, is in the mitzvot. And that's representing a Ratzon Hashem in the world. That's something which behind that mitzvah is a Ratzon, which is something we can have a window into. We can have a time, we can try and figure out what that Ratzon is, but at the end of the day, that Ratzon Hashem is absolute. That is something that's never going to change. It's something which has permanent, absolute value. And that's the ninth ikkar, is that the mitzvot have behind them, there's absolute value, there's absolute truth to the mitzvot, and therefore the mitzvot will never be changed, the Torah will never be replaced. Thank you.